I want to share a few thoughts, and then we're going to go into our communion time. And I'm going to begin in Hebrews chapter 12, in the first two verses I'd like to read there. Hebrews chapter 12, the first two verses. The words should be on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. If you have a Bible or some kind of device that shows the scriptures, I encourage you to use those. The writer of Hebrew, after he had written the incredible chapter 11 of all the heroes of faith, of course, in the original manuscripts, there were no divisions for chapters and verses and those things, but he just moves right in and says these words that we have recorded in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, you and I also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you and I are surrounded by those Hebrew chapter 11 people of faith, some named, many most unnamed people of faith who have walked the walk with the Lord. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. These three words next, looking unto Jesus. Would you say them with me? Looking unto Jesus. That's the key, and that's the theme for this morning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand on the throne of God. This morning is communion, and we will receive together these emblems in just a little bit. And communion is about what this scripture says. He endured the cross. He endured the cross. There's an incredible sense of majesty, I think, when we think of the cross and what Jesus went through. But at the same time, there's a great sense of horror at what Jesus went through for us. But he did it. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He put the shame to the side. He didn't care that he was shamed. He endured the cross in order that he might sit down at the right hand of God the Father and the throne of God. And that's where Jesus is now, isn't he? He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for us. Praise the Lord. He indwells within us by his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells within us. The Holy Spirit is the presence of the Lord with us now. But Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, but he is present with us. But those three words, looking unto Jesus, I'm glad the worship team sang about this in the songs they selected for this morning. They talked about looking unto Jesus. In John chapter 12, verse 21, there's an interesting little verse. Greek believers had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And they had heard about Jesus, and they wanted to see him. And so there's this little line, and it's the title of a book written back in the 70s. And it says this, these Greeks said to Philip, "Sir, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We've heard about him, heard rumors about him, heard the stories, but we want to see him face to face. Sir, we want to see Jesus." And so Philip took them to Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip led them to Jesus and said, "Jesus, these men want to see you." And then Jesus does something interesting. He begins to talk in chapter 12 about a seed falling into the ground and dying. His message to these Greeks was the fact that he was going to die for them as well as everybody. How many believe this morning Jesus died for everyone? Died for everyone. Not everyone will accept that. Not everyone will be saved. I'm sorry to say that. Not everyone will receive the Lord. But Jesus died for everyone. So if they ever want to, they can come to the Lord, right? While they're alive. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that Jesus died for me. I'm glad that as a little boy, I knelt at an altar in Central California, a little town called Ceres, California, and I gave my heart to Jesus, and I've followed Jesus ever since. And I've kept looking to Jesus. It hasn't been an easy road, as many of you know my life story. It hasn't been an easy road, but looking unto Jesus all the time, and I still do that. I'm not a little boy anymore. I may act like it sometimes, but I'm not a little boy anymore. But I still look to Jesus, right? He is the author and the finisher of our faith because he died for me. But Jesus died for you as well, right? Jesus died for you. If it's appropriate, smile at someone beside you and say, Jesus died for you. Would you do that right now? See, Jesus died for you. You've just affirmed it. Jesus died for you. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, I want you to know this morning that if you were the only person in the world that needed a Savior, Jesus would have died just for you because he loves you. And I encourage you to consider the claims of Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord. He makes all the difference in the world. And that's what communion is about. As often as we do this, the Scripture instructs us that we are to do it in remembrance of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. But in this passage, it encourages us to look to Jesus. To look to Jesus. How do we do that? How do we look to Jesus? I think that one of the best ways to do that is to read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the stories of Jesus. Not everything that Jesus did is recorded in the Bible. As a matter of fact, at the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John, it says, these things are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have everlasting life. But it says, this isn't everything that was written, this wasn't everything that he did. And the writer says that if everything Jesus did was written and recorded, the whole world could not contain the books that should be written. Isn't that amazing? He did so many things. And yet what he did do, and we have record of in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then, of course, the epistles kind of reiterate some of those things as well, and the Old Testament looked forward to those things. That's how we can look to Jesus, is knowing the gospel story and what Jesus did. What he did for people, what he did for us. And what he did for those in the Bible, he can do for us today, right? Because he is the same yesterday, what is it? Today and forever. Amen. He is the same. And so we look to Jesus by reading the Gospels. Another way we look to Jesus, I believe, is by praying about these things. That's why we emphasize prayer. And I wasn't able to be in service last week. I was at Grace Family Church speaking with those folks there, but I understand you had extended prayer time here, and that's a way that we look to Jesus, is we can pray about it. And whether we pray corporately, like you did last week, or we pray individually in our own private prayer time, that's a way we look to Jesus. And we call on Jesus, and we say, Lord, what shall we do? What can I do? And I know you know this, but remember that when we talk about prayer, we're not talking about any prescribed way. There's no prescribed way. I mean, you can pray the Lord's Prayer if you'd like to. You could pray the Psalms if you'd like to. But really, prayer is just talking to God. It's conversing with the Lord like you would talk to a friend. And as a matter of fact, the Scripture tells us he is a friend, right? That sticks closer than a brother. And so we just talk to God, and you can just use whatever means by which you want to talk to him. I know in my first church years ago, back when Cheryl and I were first married in Myrtle Point, a fellow got saved, and he was pretty rugged. He got saved right out of the logging world, and back in those days, the lumberjacks we called them back then. And his language, he couldn't talk. Well, if you took all the cuss words out of him, he wouldn't have anything to say. How many know what I'm talking about, right? And we encourage folks not to do that today, but that's the way he was. And so his first few prayers were kind of laced. And so one day, he was a new convert, but I asked him if he'd like to pray. And boy, whoa. So we had a little talk afterwards. But how many believe God heard those prayers anyway, right? You bet he did. God heard those prayers because he sees our hearts. And that's really, we may say the words, but prayer comes from our heart. And so, how do we look unto Jesus, as the Scripture says? We read the Gospels, we pray about things, and then possibly a third way is we look at other believers. And that's why it's important as believers that we live the life of Jesus, that we live like Jesus wants us to live, because people are watching us. People are watching us. And being a pastor here in this area for many, many years, you know that. I've been here a long time. I always have to remember that if I'm driving around, and you know my you know my dislike for people in red cars. No, I'm kidding. Penny has a red car, and she's our prayer leader. So no, I'm only joking. But my dislike for people who cut off or don't drive decently, I got to be real careful how I react, because they may come to our church. Or they may know me. And so I want to be like Jesus. Amen? So I got to lay off the horn. All right? And I'm pretty good about not being on the horn. Except the other day. And Jesus forgave me, but Cheryl is still praying about whether to forgive me or not. But our Christian testimony is a way we can look to Jesus. I look at Tony and Lupe, and I'm so glad you came this morning. I really am, Tony and Lupe. And I see your lives and what you're doing for the kingdom of God. You're doing what Jesus did. He went out and he preached the gospel and he ministered. And like you said, Tony, I've known you a long time, and I've watched your life, and I've seen how you reflect Jesus. And so, thank you, Jason. And I want to thank you for living a life for Jesus. That doesn't mean we have to be perfect, but that's one way people look at us, and they say, so that's what it must be like to look to Jesus. And so, Lord, use my life. Amen? Use my life for people to see you. Then it says in verse 1, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that ensnares us. I really looked at this, I think there's a connection between the weight and the sin that ensnares us and the fact that that verse 1 says, this is a race. This is a race. Now, in my younger days, I ran track. I loved to run. And I was pretty fast. I wasn't real big, but I was fast. So I could outrun the bigger guys. And I loved that. But obviously, as I've gotten older, I've slowed down. But I remember in the early days of track, this is even before, if you can imagine this, this is before Nike. I mean, we're talking back in the days, never mind, before Nike. And I remember when Nike first came out and their shoe, and I'm not promoting Nike at all. I think Nike's really switch directions. I'm not really in favor too much of it. But anyway, they invented this shoe. And it's pretty amazing when you see the first shoe that they invented, how they glued it together. But it was lightweight, because they realized even back then that the less weight you have on, the faster you can go. And I didn't even give that any thought. I just, put on some shorts, t-shirt, and Converse All-Star tennis shoes, right? How many remember those? Say amen. And so I would just run. But then the coaches began to talk to us about these new track shoes that were lightweight, and they would help you run even quicker. And so all of a sudden, we begin to put two and two together, the less weight you have. To where today, you look at our runners today, and they have those skin-tight bodysuits. And I look at those today and thought, that would have never worked for me. Especially that would not work today. But they want to be as lightweight as possible. And we think, well, boy, that's pretty tight, pretty revealing. Well, if you were racing in a race in the time that this was written, you would have really been embarrassed, because most of the runners didn't wear anything. Didn't wear any, yeah, whoa, that's right. They didn't wear anything because the racing was that important. So the sense of this verse is, what weight is keeping you from running the best race you can? What sin is keeping us from running the best race we can? Let us lay aside the weight and the sin. It's almost a connection to where the sin becomes weight that weights us down. I think that was one of the lines in one of the songs we sang this morning. The weight of the sin. I'm not here to point out your sin, and you're not here to point out mine. But it is sufficient to say all of us have some things we need to deal with, right? Every one of us. As good as we try to be, there's some things that we deal with. They may be things mentally, where we wrestle with things in our mind all the time, or they may be some outward things where we do things we shouldn't do or go places we shouldn't go or say things we shouldn't say or whatever. I'm not here to point yours out. Yours not here to point my out. But the Holy Spirit, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to point those out, right? And maybe the Holy Spirit right now is pointing out something for you. And this is a great time for that to happen because we're going to have communion in a moment. And it's a communion where we can say, Lord, forgive me and help me with this sin or this sin that's causing weight, that's causing me not to run this race like I should. Communion is a good time for that. A little time of prayer at your seat before you take the emblems. Lord, look at my life and see what needs to change. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a temper. Maybe it's things we shouldn't watch on our television or our computers. Maybe it's something we shouldn't be drinking or whatever. Whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking. Maybe it's grudges we're holding. And on it can go. But I think what we need to do is invite the Holy Spirit as our track coach. To come in and say, the Holy Spirit say to us, this is the weight I want you to take off. This is the sin I want you to remove. And your race will be run more effectively. How many think that's a good thing to do? Amen? Lord, help us. The sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. And then it talks about the race. Run the race with endurance. This Jesus life that we live is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Now, I was a sprinter in school. That's what I did best. I could run fast. I always admired those fellows and gals who could run the long distance. Matter of fact, Sally and I and Cheryl, we and Debbie, we were raised in the same area where Steve Prefontaine trained. And we would see Steve out running. You know, I didn't know him. I think I said hi one time, but Sally knew him a little better than I did. But we would see him training. And as I understand it, Steve tried to do a few things and he couldn't, so he determined to do the long distance. And I always admired that because I couldn't. 100-yard dash, hardly anyone could beat me. 110 yards, you had to resuscitate me. That's about what it was, okay? But the important thing to remember is if you make a mistake, you're not in a sprint, you're in a marathon. You get up and you keep going. You get up and you keep going because the Lord forgives us, right? And He helps us, and He wants us to make it through the long haul. Sometimes it's hard. I read the other, just yesterday, I got a newsletter from our church in Seal Beach, California, and Pastor Sherry does a newsletter, and one of her members gave us this example, and I don't have the names, but I thought it was interesting. In 1952, there was a swimmer, I think her first name was Margaret, in 1952, that's the year I was born. She had already swam the English Channel. And so she decided to swim from Catalina Island to the California shore, across that little area there, long area. And she was going really good, swimming. She had already done the English Channel. and incredible. And then all of a sudden a fog came in and shrouded the area in front of her. She couldn't see this far in front of her, that heavy fog that sometimes hits that California area. And so she swam and swam, and finally she desperately was crying out for the little boats alongside of her to pull her out. And her mother was in one of the other boats near her, and her mother kept saying, "No, Margaret, you can do this. I'm sure the shore is close. You can do this. Don't give up. Don't give up." But Margaret started screaming. She just couldn't make it. So they pulled her out of the boat, and the fog lifted, and she was only a couple hundred yards, I guess, from the shore. And Margaret made this statement after the race: "If only I could have seen the land, I think I could have made it. If only I could have seen the land." It's a psychological thing. If she could have saw the land, she could, maybe could have overcome some of the fatigue. And when I read that story, I thought, if only we can see Jesus when the fog is there. The fog of disappointment, the fog of loss, the fog of whatever it is that blocks our vision of Jesus. If only we can just see Jesus, we can make it. We can make it. And so my encouragement this morning for all of us is, if you're in a fog today, look for Jesus. There's an old song my mother used to sing: "Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. You will know him by the nail prints in his hands." It's an old, old, old song. She loved it. She would sing that all the time. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus is in the fog, but he's going to be there. And if you look, you'll find him. And if you can see Jesus, you can finish this race. Amen? Keep looking to Jesus. Don't look to pastor. I'm not the one you want to look for when you're in the fog. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look for your spouse. Don't look for maybe, you know, Luis. No, Luis is gone to be with the Lord. Kevin Palau, his son. Don't look to some of these celebrities, but look for Jesus. Because if you keep your eyes on Jesus, he will help you finish this race. Amen? Look to Jesus. So in conclusion this morning, the scripture says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, in three different places, verse 8, verse 11, verse 17, Jesus makes the statement, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end." Alpha, Omega is the Greek alphabet. Alpha is the first letter. Omega is the last letter. So when he makes the statement, "I'm Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end," he's making the statement, I have everything under control. And then in the last chapter of Revelation 22:13, Jesus says it again: "I am the Alpha, the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith." And those are encouraging words, because Jesus is there for us in the beginning of our race and at the end of our race on this earth. He's there for us. Pastor Sherry said these words in her newsletter. I thought this was excellent. It went along with my message so well, so I'm borrowing it from Pastor Sherry. "In these troubled times, keep our eyes on Jesus, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, who will always be there for us." Amen? We're going to have communion today, and there's four stations, and you just pick a station closest to you, and in a moment I'll ask you to come and get your emblems, take them back to your seats. It's a little different style of container this morning. Our regular kind, we're back ordered 6 weeks, but I think you can see how it's done. If you need a gluten-free option, there is that on the table as well. So Bernie, if you'd come, and Penny, and prepare the tables, or whoever is going to do that. Lord, we thank you this morning for our time of communion as we come to the end of our service. I pray as we take these emblems in our hands that we will give thought to Jesus. That, Lord, during this time that we are at our seats with these communion emblems, Lord, that you would show us the weight and the sin that easily ensnares us, that you would help us, Lord. Father, we just ask you to convict us and then forgive us. Show us, Lord, how to overcome these things with your help. Perhaps there's someone here, Lord, in a fog, like that swimmer, Margaret, who they're just treading water like crazy, but they don't see the shore and they're ready to give up. Show yourself to them, Lord. Show yourself to them. Let them see Jesus. And as they see Jesus, they'll be able to continue. So we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.